Now, Sports Talk with Broads. Here's Hunter Brody.
What is going on, everyone? Welcome to Sports Talk with Broads. I have hit my breaking point with Ben Simmons. That last game against the Miami Heat was so bad and so awful. I don't think I'm ever going to look at him the same way. The fact that this deep into his career, we are seeing a performance like that where he had one field goal throughout three quarters. He ended up getting that second field goal attempt. Whoop-de-damn-do. It was embarrassing, and I just can't support it anymore. Now, if you're one of those people that claim that he sucked his entire career to this point, and he's always been so bad, and you should have given up on him 2 years ago, that's nonsense. That's ridiculous. Because in all of pro sports, let's look at Giannis for an example. Imagine saying Giannis is one of the worst players in basketball his first or second year into his NBA career. At some point, you need to allow these kids to groom and grow. So I was absolutely willing to sit there and sacrifice some painful moments, thinking at least that at one point in Ben Simmons' career, he would have that moment for me where I go, all right, yes, yes, that's what I was looking for. I'm seeing it with Joel Embiid now. That overtime that he went through against Miami, that was special. And that third quarter, that was special. That's a big leap for the big man. You can absolutely see it. It's a no-brainer. It's there. To not see it yet for Ben Simmons and to see the same struggles, the wall beating you. Hey, Doc, you told me you don't care if he doesn't shoot. I told you, yes, you do, or at least, yes, you will. And by the way, I'm going to do this. Everyone told me this was Brett Brown's fault. Seriously, though. He didn't make him. The guy doesn't have it in him. I'm disgusted to say that. I was one of his biggest defenders in the world. Yet the tape tells the story at this point. Now, if we go back in time, I will let it play out the way that I did 100 out of 100 times. I played it the right way. I give the guy the chance. I don't write anyone off within 1 year, 2 years, 3 years. Like, I just don't do it. At this point, though, I'm starting to get a big enough sample size. And I know he's only 24, and that's going to be the defenders that are still defending him. That's going to be what they push back on. He's only 24. Well, if you are a serious player in this league, you see way bigger growth from when he entered to now. You do. I mean, the steps would have been taken by now where you would have been pleased and understanding that, hold on a second, just give it a little bit more, just a little bit more, and he'll get to where you want him to be. A little bit more to Ben Simmons now. I mean, we're still in garbage mode. So it's outrageous. I really am so irritated and bothered. I lost it. I literally lost it on Ben Simmons after that Miami Heat game. And I don't know what it's going to take for me to really get all sucked back in. Because guess what? It's not going to be a good performance coming up down the stretch here against some of these regular season games. I'm sorry. I'm just not going to be convinced by any of that. Because Ben does do this. He gets destroyed. He gets abused. The media attention gets so heavy. And then he'll have a big one. Then he'll go out there and give you 30 points, 13 rebounds, 12 assists, and he'll flex his muscles. Yeah, well, guess what? One out of 15 games. No, not this late into his career. Not this deep into his Sixers tenure. Nope. Nope. So that gets us right into the discussion of what occurred yesterday with the mega deal. James Harden going to the Brooklyn Nets. Daryl Morey obviously being in play because there were reports that Ben Simmons was on the table. And there's some conflicting reports. Some say that it was James Harden for Ben Simmons, Tyrese Maxey, Matisse Thybulle, and a bunch of picks. And then John Clark of NBC Sports Philadelphia is being told that Tyrese Maxey was not in the conversation. So it was Ben Simmons, Matisse Thybulle, and a bunch of picks. More on that in 1 second. First, I need to let you know that we are broadcasting live from the Manscaped Man Cave. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code BROD at manscaped.com. So the Brooklyn Nets gave up an absurd package. I don't think you even want to outbid what the Brooklyn Nets did. They threw in 4 first rounders, 4 pick swaps. I mean, that's where I think it lost Daryl Morey. At that point, it's similar to what the Brooklyn Nets did to go get Kevin Garnett, Paul Pierce, right? I mean, they gave up their entire future, and then they had to suck forever to take a shot on those veteran guys. I don't know if I would have went down the road of giving up that. That is absurd. And, of course, they also had to throw in Caris LeVert, and he ended up going to where? Indiana, and then Victor Oladipo went to Houston. Look, I don't really care about what happened afterwards. The fact that the Sixers didn't get James Harden is the topic of discussion. And, look, I trust Daryl Morey. My emotions were going up and down and all over the place, and the news broke when I was on the Sports Bash show. You know, we're reacting live in time. This week has been wild. We get the initial reaction on the Sports Bash to Doug Peterson's firing. And then in the same week, here we are having reports. Whoa, Shams, the Sixers are in on James Harden. I couldn't control my emotions. But when I settled down and when I was able to get a more rational viewpoint on it, my thought was, I trust Daryl Morey. And I thought at one point the package just got so silly for the Brooklyn Nets that Daryl Morey's a smart guy. Yeah, he wanted James Harden. Yeah, he saw the opportunity, but you're not just going to blow everything up. And I know some might look at it as, well, look, they're just first rounders. If you're going to contend, they're going to be in that 20 range. What's the big deal? And those pick swaps, by the way, are a huge deal because then no matter where you fall, you're just being able to get flip-flopped all around the draft with the Houston Rockets. I don't want to have that. But those 20 picks have more value than some think. I'm not going to tell you or try and sell you that it's insanely huge and insanely large. But think about what they have acquired over the last handful of years in that 20 range while making the postseason. Landry Shamet, Matisse Thybulle, Tyrese Maxey. Nice pieces. Contributing pieces in the NBA. And when we talk about depth with this team, that's big. Right? I mean, that's a big deal. So I'm not telling you it's the biggest ever, but there is something that you can acquire with those throughout a 4-year stretch. Would that be the difference for me in landing James Harden? No. But if you have those 4 first rounders and then you multiply that with or add the pick swaps with it, now you're talking about like an 8-year stretch. That's the difference in well-ran organizations and not. That's where it goes back to trusting Daryl Morey. Some were skeptical on giving up Matisse Thybulle last year, and I was pretty consistent on you can fill that void. And I know that kind of sounds like I'm conflicting myself or being hypocritical because I just mentioned that, look, you can find value in those 20th picks. They have done that. Their recent success will show you that. Yet on the other side, I'm saying Matisse Thybulle is someone that you can absolutely trade. Where the connection is in my brain, though, is now we're talking about 8 years of it, 5 years of it, 6 years of it. That's where all of them, the addition of them together, is why I think the package got super strong. 1 year, 2 years, 3 years. Okay, that's a different scenario, but with the pick swaps and with the first rounders and everything combined, that's what I'm talking about. It's a big bulk. But in terms of Matisse Thybulle, it seems everyone's willing to just get rid of him now. Yeah, because he does struggle with spacing the floor, and he's having a hard time getting on the court now as we speak. But apparently, Tyrese Maxey has turned into, I don't know, Steph Curry? I don't know. I'm just trying to think of one of the best point guards in the game right now. It doesn't even need to be right now. I mean, apparently this guy has turned into one of the best point guards ever because people don't want to move on from him. What does it take to get a star? It takes a lot of pieces. It takes something significant. You have to move on from good pieces to acquire someone like James Harden. So that should never be the difference in you pulling the trigger or not. Ben Simmons, Tyrese Maxey, Matisse Thybul, that's a legitimate package. If they're asking for four first-rounders from there, that's where I think it's time to say, hell no, are you kidding me? Absolutely not. Did the Brooklyn Nets use the Philadelphia 76ers? Did they look at this scenario and go, let's build up our trade value. Let's tell the Brooklyn Nets, or the Houston Rockets use the 76ers as leverage? That's what I'm trying to get at here. I don't know what the hell just came out of my mouth. If the Houston Rockets used the Sixers so they can try and build up their package, get a heavier, heftier package. So when they call Brooklyn, they're going, oh yeah, did you see what Philadelphia offered? I think that absolutely happened. I'm sure that Houston and Daryl Morey have a relationship that's a little bit iffy at the moment. That's not the strongest in the world. Oh yeah, Daryl, what are you thinking? As they're kind of laughing behind the scenes, waiting to hear whatever his response is going to be. And then they run over to New York and they say, well, this is what Daryl Morey has on the table. If you really want to get him, then guess what? You're going to have to apply more to your package. And a lot on Kyrie Irving's part is playing a role in this, I'm sure. It's sort of like a safety package. It's sort of like a situation where if the Kyrie Irving thing blows up in our face, we still have Kevin Durant and James Harden to battle it out. So if Kyrie Irving and KD were playing smooth and there was none of this nonsense behind the scenes, well, he's apparently not happy with how the coaching hire went for them to get Steve Nash. And now he's, quote, very distant with Kevin Durant. This guy's a loser. I mean, he's just handling his business the wrong way, no matter what it is. And I know that he talked about some things that happened with the Capitol building and all playing a role. And I'm not knocking that. But I'm knocking how he's going about it. Not telling anybody, doing his own thing. If you felt that played such a big impact on how you feel, which is fine. That's allowed. Tell your coach. Tell people around you. Coach, this is paying a real big toll on me. You know, this is hitting me hard. I can't do this right now. I need a little bit of break. Can I not play due to personal reasons? Yeah, absolutely, Kyrie. Don't just run off and get caught here and get caught there. That's immature. So we'll see how the Kyrie news goes moving forward, but I think that definitely played such a big part in why the Brooklyn Nets felt the need to go after James Harden, to make Kevin Durant a little bit more happier, to get Kevin Durant to feel comfortable and say, all right, look, I don't know what this deal is with Kyrie, but let's go, because we still got it, and we can go to work. With those three on the court, I don't even know how it's going to go down. That's one ball for three guys that love to have the ball in their hands. They're going to have to sacrifice. They're going to have to be willing. It's funny, though. I was told Kyrie Irving wanted to be the guy, wanted to be the Batman. Well, guess what? You're third on the list right now, dude. Good luck. Have fun. I mean, seriously. All right, I want to let you know about my friends over at DraftKings. While the holiday season may be over, the sports calendar is in full swing this week. From collegiate to professional sports, there's no shortage of action. There's no better place to get in on all of the action than with DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook app. If you haven't tried out DraftKings Sportsbook, what are you waiting for? To celebrate this year's football playoffs, DraftKings is giving all new players the chance to bet on any of this weekend's professional football games at 100-1 odds. That's right. All you have to do is bet $1 on any football game this weekend, and if your team wins, you cash $100. While we're all excited for football, let's not forget the 2021 basketball season has tipped off. There are daily odds boosts every day. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code BROADS when you sign up to get 100-1 odds on any football game this weekend. That's code BROADS for new players to get a shot at $100 on any football action this weekend. for a limited time only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older. Pennsylvania only. Restrictions apply. In partnership with Meadows Racetrack and Casino. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. All right, so when the news did come down that Brooklyn was the squad that was acquiring James Harden, I had this weird feeling of disappointment in my stomach. It was telling me that I wanted this deal to happen more than I thought I wanted this deal to happen. Yeah, and that's saying a lot. For me, that's saying a lot. Because I know where my stance has always been on Ben Simmons. And even entering this season, I was firm on I couldn't pull the trigger earlier in the year. And apparently, neither could Doc Rivers and neither could Daryl Morey. And I question, does this mean Doc Rivers saw something that is concerning him? I mean, he should, right? He's a good NBA head coach, so we're told. He should be able to see that instantly. This handful of games should be enough to let you know that there's a hole there. That if you were waiting for him to elevate. Now, some are questioning because this team was 7-1 before the COVID-19 safety protocol stepped in and pretty much washed the entire Sixers team. Because you didn't have problems with it before, is this just a product of not having guys out there logging a ton of minutes with Matthias and Isaiah Joe? And even though I like Isaiah Joe, you get my point. It's not Seth Curry and it's not Tobias Harris and Shake Milton. Is this just a product of what you're playing out there? And I would make this argument. Yes, I do think that that has something to do with it because you don't need him to be that secondary guy. You don't need that guy. You don't need him to be like that intense of a scorer when you have the spacing that you have with your normal lineup. It's almost concerning to me, though. Here's my side of the argument. It's concerning to me what type of star basketball player would allow for that to happen. Seriously. And guys have bad games. Guys have bad moments. It doesn't fully describe who they are. But that does. That is Ben Simmons. That is defining all of his flaws, all of his issues, all of his mental woes when it comes to this sport. It's almost more concerning to me that when the environment came upon him where they had no one available, they were playing a COVID-19 game, and I'm talking about the Miami Heat here, he let three guys build a wall and shut him down. If LeBron shut him down, fine. If Anthony Davis shut him down, fine. If Giannis shut him down, fine. If you listening, can shut him down, unacceptable. It really is. And that's where I'm having the issue. I think he ends up getting moved, though. I do. I think that Bradley Beal is going to be a hot name tied to Ben Simmons. And that's something I'm very intrigued by. It also, it fits the age. And I don't think that Bradley Beal is the same level as James Harden. I do think James Harden is above him. Bradley Beal is 27. He can score the rock. He can dish it. He can do a lot of things. I mean, you saw it firsthand when he dropped 60 on our asses just a little bit of time ago. So when you look at Bradley Beal's play, I think you're going to see Daryl Morey try and pull some strings down that road. LaVine is a name that constantly gets brought up because he's dropping points left and right. If Ben Simmons can get you Bradley Beal and he can get you James Harden, I need a lot more in return than Zach LaVine. And I know the guy's dropping points and he's scoring and all that, but I'm not as sold on LaVine as some of the others. I wanted LaVine earlier in conversations this year, but I wanted him with Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons, taking Ben Simmons away. Like, do you see where I'm having the disconnect? If Ben Simmons is your starting point, a legitimate starting point for James Harden and Bradley Beal, Zach LaVine doesn't move the needle nearly as much. Does that mean I'm writing it off completely? No, because, I mean, there could be so much more in a three-way deal to get some more back in return, and there could be more pieces and all that. But I'm not jumping up and down, picking up the phone instantly 100% to go get Zach LaVine. That's definitely not something that I'm, like, really invested in right now. I'd rather be seeing what's going on with Beal. But how does Ben Simmons react to this, I think, is a fantastic look. It's a fantastic approach mentally for us viewing this team moving forward. There's two ways to go about it. He's going to step up, and he's going to produce. Now, that might happen for the first handful of games because it's such an adrenaline rush. It's breaking news. It's new news. It's something that's so fresh. It's like a fresh wound. It's just there. And then as time goes, he gets back into who Ben Simmons is. Or he just says, screw you guys. Really, screw you. And then he's lost, checked out, and the rest is history. I don't know, but I do smell that Ben Simmons is not going to be a Philadelphia 76er for much longer. There's a reason why he was getting dangled to James Harden. We were told Doc Rivers wanted an opportunity. We were told Daryl Morey came in late, and because Doc Rivers was the original hire, it's like, okay, look, Doc wanted him. Doc came here for Joel and Ben. Let them get an opportunity to work together. Let's see what Doc Rivers can do with these two players. And then within, what, 9 basketball games, he's getting dangled in front of James Harden again. There's something to it. No matter what they tell you, no matter what they say, there's something to it. And when it gets to this level, I think the Sixers are looking to trade Ben Simmons. But once again, we're talking about Daryl Morey. He's not dumb. He's not stupid. He's not just going to trade Ben Simmons just to get rid of Ben Simmons. He understands what type of return he is looking for a young player. As much as we rip him, as much as we destroy him, teams are absolutely willing to acquire him because of the upside that they want to take a shot on. Hell, look at what happened with Markel Fultz. The Orlando Magic was like, oh, first overall pick. This guy can't play. I'll take a shot on him. Now, to be fair, the package was a little different. No one's getting rid of Jonathan Simmons for Ben Simmons to take a shot on him, right? So, remember, I mean, that's kind of what you're talking about. I think it was Jonathan Simmons in a first, I think. Maybe, was it even a protected first, if I remember correctly? But yeah, I mean, there's a big difference because you're getting rid of someone like Harden. But that's why you got to wait for the right moment. That's why you got to be willing to be patient, understand the situation. When guys are unhappy in certain areas, that's when you pounce. When teams don't want to stay engaged with one player who's not happy, that's when you make your move and you make your jump and you go after it. So the moral of the story is I trust Daryl Morey. I think the Sixers should look into trading Ben Simmons for the right package. That needs to be underlined and in bold letters, as long as it's the right package. And I think this front office is going to. I was disappointed when I saw the news that he was going to Brooklyn for sure. So I think that really does just tell me how I felt the whole time here. And I don't know if I'm just being very reactionary to that last game against Miami, because I'm normally not that way, right? It's normally not one game that gets me going. I didn't believe in Jalen Hurts after 2 starts. I don't believe in this basketball team after a 7-1 start. I need time. Well, I think last game was just my point where everything was so bottled up. All of these emotions, all of this frustration. And when I saw it again, to that slop squad on the other side, everything poured out. And I just don't know if there's a way I can seriously ever go back. It went too far over the cliff. And at what point is it just over? Is that feeling gone? Well, I think we might be hitting that. You know, I watched Joel Embiid go out there and dominate and destroy teams, and he looks fatigued. At the same time, he's got this face of determination, right? That third quarter where he put up 20 points, 8 of 8 from the field, knocking down his free throws, couple assists, kicking it to Danny Green in the corner, kicking it to Isaiah Joe, the top of the perimeter. It was great. He was on another level. I think he's sick of Ben Simmons as well. You know, he's talking about him needing his teammates and things after the game. And I think he is sick of Ben Simmons. He's been begging this guy to elevate his game for years now, and you're not seeing it at an efficient rate. So he's going in his brain, you got to be kidding me. Really? It's probably so irritating for him knowing what he does every offseason, knowing what he's doing to attack his flaws, knowing what he's doing to get better. And that's not to say Ben Simmons isn't in the gym, because that's silly, right? I mean, I'm not going to that extreme that he doesn't work on his craft in basketball. He's part of everything LeBron James is, right? They're all part of Clutch Sports, this and that. They work out in the summers together. He goes to LA. To act as if Ben Simmons doesn't care about basketball, doesn't try or anything like that, that's where I draw the line, like where you start attacking his personal self and like his not personality, but I think there's a line that gets crossed sometimes, for sure, where it's like, this guy doesn't care, he hates basketball, this and that. Like, no, I mean, that's going to the extreme. I don't know where the disconnect is, because there obviously is one. And hopefully, we're just really hoping and praying that this is a wake-up call. Do I think it's actually going to be one? No, that's why I said I'm praying. Absolutely not. No. No. I don't think that this is one. Do you think this is one? I think we're going to see the same old Ben Simmons. Even if, keep in mind, even if he comes out hot and blazing for just a handful of games, that's called the new effect factor. I made that up on the fly. I don't even know what I was going for there. Yes, I do. What I was going for was, it's just so raw. It's a new moment. The headlines are big. You know, he's going to be determined for a handful of games. And then eventually, he falls right back into who he is. Because at the end of the day, you fall back to your mean. You fall back to the standard. You fall back to what the average is. And the average say that Ben Simmons is going to be who he has showed us to this point. But don't feel bad. Don't feel bad if you're like me and you were someone who defended him forever and then you finally had that moment. It doesn't make the other people right, because they've been slandering him since day one. There's so many basketball players that grow and groom. Hell, look at Zach LaVine. For people screaming to trade Ben Simmons for Zach LaVine, he wasn't a 45-point guy when he first came into the league. He wasn't a guy who was dropping an insane amount of points and scoring in the 30s when he first got in the league. It was right to give Ben Simmons an amount of time to grow and groom and play the game and learn the game and understand the body size and learn how to back guys up and to add touch around the rim, which he still can't figure out. It was the right mentality to have. That's how sports works. That's what you do. But at some point, you have to make the decision. You realize what you've seen is good enough and what you've seen is not good enough. And it's pretty obvious where we are today. It is not good enough. So where do they go from here? They stay patient. They stick with this until Daryl Morey decides to make that decision. I think what it came down to was the Nets just gave up an absurd amount. The Nets just went out of control. They just decided to throw too much at them when it comes to the pick swaps, the draft picks, and that's pretty much where I think it lost them. I know that sounds crazy, but as I said, it's not about one, two, three. I mean, you're talking about for a significant amount of time, you are not having control. That's not how good organizations operate. Like, if Daryl Morey thought it was too much, it's too much. I think that screams, hold on a second, there's a red flag. There's a reason why Daryl Morey did not go through with this. He's respected. He's insanely aggressive. That's something we loved about him when we acquired him. This guy's willing. And we said it right from the jump. The minute he was hired, we thought, really, that Embiid was going to be the one because he doesn't love the center. Although he went right against that instantly, saying, no, 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 no. Joel Embiid's going to be the guy. He made it clear who the guy was, but we knew someone was going to get moved. Someone was going to get traded, because that's what he does. That's in his DNA. We read the pulse of the room. This guy is super motivated and super okay with just getting rid of the big dogs, the big names. He moves guys. So when he doesn't, when it gets to this, I think it all has to do with it just getting to a point where, look, you got to be smart at the same time. I know you want the guy. I know James Harden, it would be great. Him and Embiid would be lethal together. At some point, though, you can't just blow up the organization to get that. And I don't want to hear, well, would you sacrifice X amount of years to make sure you go get that championship? Put yourself in a mind of a smart president of basketball operations. If he believes it reached a point, I'm going to go with him more than the guy that goes with, well, hold on a second, I'd sacrifice 8 first-round picks. Tyrese Maxey, Matisse Thybulle, and Ben Simmons for that opportunity to win a championship. I'll stick with the guy who's been involved for a bunch of years. In terms of players, though, real quick, looking at it, none of those would have held me back. I think it's the combination of the aggressive future that you're handing to Houston and the aggressiveness with that long period of time, more so than Maxey, Thybulle, Simmons. Thybulle is a fun, exciting player. If you're getting James Harden, he's in the mix. None of those guys would have held me back. It just reached a point. It just reached a point. No matter what it actually was. Like, John Clark is saying Maxey wasn't even in play. I would have loved to seen that happen. If you could have had Maxey stay, get Harden, so you'd have Harden, Maxey, and Embiid. That would have been fun. That would have been fun. So here we are. We have the same team. How do you feel about it? How do you feel about it? Let me know down below in the comments section on YouTube. If you're listening to this on any podcasting platform, you can actually use the review system as a comment section. I read those as well. With over 20 years of experience in the solar industry, Orbit Energy and Power is home to your solar experts in residential and commercial projects. Their solar program helps eliminate your electric bill completely. They offer flexible financing solutions such as $0 down. They also provide water purification, backup energy services, battery storage, and more. So check out their information. It is all down below. Thank you so much for listening, and I will see you next time.